This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Come, precious Creator, Savior, Lord Christ, Holy Spirit, take our minds and think through them. Take our lips and speak through them. Take our hearts and souls, our very bodies, set them on fire with love for you. Amen. Please be seated. About a year ago, I sent a text message to my son Andrew, and I was replying to a question, and I just put K for okay, just the letter K. And he wrote back, and he said, "Mom, did you know that there's a negative connotation if you don't spell out the word okay in a text?" And I said, "No, I didn't know that." And he said, "Yeah, it could have a sarcastic connotation to it." Who knew? So now I always spell out okay. I don't know how many people know that, but now you know it. Same too with inflections in our voice or in an email or in a written word. If you aren't positive of what someone means and you don't clarify it, easily things can get misunderstood. Am I right? Right? So I have asked a good friend of ours, Toby Tobiasen, if you would come on up. Tabby, sorry. We know Tabby from Canoga, and she's a good friend of my son Andrew's, and she's visiting for the day. So welcome, Tabby. And I've asked her to do a little exercise with me to demonstrate this, so I'm going to have to put my mic in front of your mouth when your turn. Okay. So if I were to say to Tabby, "I'll meet you tomorrow at 2 p.m., and her reply was okay, that could come across in many different ways depending on her inflection. So let's just say you're really excited. So I'm going to say, "Let's meet tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Okay.
And now you're just kind of not so sure about this. "Let's meet tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Okay.
Now let's say she's kind of dreading it and she doesn't mind telling me. "Let's meet tomorrow at 2 p.m.
Okay.
See how different it can be with inflection. Now, let's say that Tabby has an appointment at the dentist, and this is how her inflection can mean everything. Let's say she's had a toothache for a while, and finally, she's so relieved to be able to go to the dentist today, and she's telling all of us, "I'm going to the dentist today.
I'm going to the dentist today."
And now she's going to tell you as if she is just dreading it.
"I'm going to the dentist today."
And now, like she's just put out and angry about it.
"I'm going to the dentist today."
Thank you, Tabby. And how about autocorrects? Man, there's mostly, when I looked online, I couldn't repeat most of them that came up, some of the funny ones, but what has happened to me time and time again is that there's somebody that I know named Chris, and so I say, "Are you bringing Chris with you, or is Chris coming?" And it comes up, "Christ." And if I don't check it, so I said to my friend, "Are you bringing Christ with you?" And then they wrote back, "I certainly hope so." So I was like, they're not always that great. Today's gospel is a case in point of how things can get misunderstood if we don't take the time to take a close look at them. When I read the gospel, Jesus, we think, is saying, "You worthless slaves." Right? Did you kind of sit up and take notice at that to the disciples? And why would he say they were worthless? Well, he didn't. So before I get into that, though, I need to set the context a bit. And many of you who come here week in and week out are probably getting kind of tired of us saying that we're on a road trip with Jesus. It started at the end of June, and we've been on this road trip, and we're going to be till November. So I figured today, given this gospel, it would be a good time to go pull into the rest stop for a minute. And I've prepared a little photo journal of where we've been and where we're going to go so that we can see exactly what the disciples have been hearing all these many weeks on the road. Lessons from a road trip with Jesus. Follow me and don't look back. Go together, two by two. Stay where you're welcomed and bring peace. Attract people with kindness. Don't force it. How to inherit eternal life? Love God. Love your neighbor as yourself. Take time to be still and listen to God. Pray the Lord's Prayer. Ask, seek, knock, and the door will be opened to you. Let go of greed. How much do you really need? Do not fear, and always be on the lookout for me. Following me may mean being unpopular with your family and friends. It can be risky. Don't let rules get in the way of doing what's right. I love this one. Condemning me for healing on the Sabbath? Please tell me how that's better than doing evil. Everyone is invited to the table of God. Give up attachment to possessions and pride. The lost will be found, yes, even you. And God needs our help to find others who may be lost. We are accountable for one another. We cannot worship God and money. Our greed creates our own hell, a chasm between us and others. Generosity and compassion bring connection. Keep forgiving. Give thanks. Pray with persistence. Be humble. Thinking we're better than others won't help us at all. U-turns are permitted. We can turn back to God no matter what. And coming for the month of November, all are one. No caste system in the land of God. You are blessed. Be a blessing. Live now no matter what you see around you. And finally, though we don't quite get it or live it completely, not any of us, Jesus Christ overcame even death and lives in heaven and yet is with us always, even now, guiding us. Lessons from a road trip with Jesus. So that's the feel of the trip. And Jesus keeps telling them, follow me, follow me, follow me. And in today's gospel, they're saying, increase our faith. How could we possibly do all this, Lord? They were overwhelmed with the teaching. And Jesus says to them, if you had faith just this much, which obviously you do because you're following me, even just this tiny little bit, like a grain of a mustard seed, that's enough. Do what's before you to do, and I will do the rest. And I will do the rest. And then he tells them this parable, which brings us to the misunderstanding and the potential mistranslation of understanding exactly what he's trying to do. And again, a couple weeks ago, I mentioned Kenneth Bailey, who is just the world's expert in the culture of the day of Jesus' time and the Middle Eastern idioms, and taking into consideration that Jesus spoke Aramaic, which is a language that is just about gone from our planet, but is beautiful and expansive, and each word can mean many, many different things. So he knows the feel of the land, and in this gospel, we heard Jesus say, who among you would say to your slave who has just come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, come here at once and take your place at the table? Would you not rather say to him, prepare supper for me, put on your apron and serve me while I eat and drink? Later, you may eat and drink. Do you thank the slave for doing what was commanded? And then we hear the line in question. So you also, if you could put up the next slide. So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, we are worthless slaves. We have done only what we ought to have done. But now, that next slide, the meaning changes completely because worthless slaves, Bailey tells us, really meant slaves without need. Slaves without need. So listen to how that changes the meaning of the text. So you are my disciples when you have done all you were ordered to do, say, we are your servants without need. We have done only what we ought to have done. This is a teaching of humility, not worthlessness. Jesus never told them that they weren't worthy. And whole religions and whole, not religions, but denominations and teachings have been done on this idea that we're not worthy. This is not worthless slaves, it's slaves without need. And in that day, Bailey goes on to tell us that if someone was asked if they needed something, that even today they say, no, 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 I need nothing, I'm fine, I'm good. And if you were a worker, if you were without need, that meant you did everything you were supposed to do. And other people say it also can mean idle. So if the slave goes to the, or servant is the better, also a better translation of that word, doulos. If he goes to the master and he says, I am idle, that means he's telling the master that he has more time to do more work for the master. And that's a great thing. He's a willing servant. So to put it in context for today, it would be like if you went to a restaurant and a waiter came out from the kitchen and sat down at your table and ate with you. See the difference? They're doing their job. They don't want to do that. They're doing a job. They're making money. And they are, you know, hopefully happy that they have a job and doing this as a willing servant. And get this. It's not that Jesus isn't willing to do the same thing. He's called the suffering servant because he's willing to do the ultimate for us. To die on the cross for us and then rise again on the third day. So that song we just sang is so perfect for this lesson. Won't you let me be your servant and give me the grace to allow you to serve me? Because that's the modeling of Jesus. So in following Christ, we take the Bible seriously when we really delve in and study, especially those texts that are difficult. I had a teacher, a New Testament teacher, that said, don't ever avoid those or throw them out thinking that they're too difficult because there's usually great little nuggets of gold. So I hope that you can get excited about that as well and that we all can be servants without need. No matter what is on your heart today, no matter what you bring into this church, no matter what is burdening you, Christ is saying, look to this day. Do what's before you to do with just a little grain of mustard seed of faith, and let me do the rest. Lean on me. Come unto me, all ye that are troubled, and I will give you rest, he tells us. It only takes a mustard seed size of faith. I'd like for you now to join me just in closing your eyes. I have four lines of a little prayer by John O'Donohue, and I'm going to say it twice. It's about giving in to this movement of the Holy Spirit in our lives and having the faith to know what to do one day at a time. I would love to live like a new river flows, carried by surprise of its own unfolding. I would love to live like a new river flows, carried by surprise of its own unfolding. Thank you, God, for faith in you, faith in one another. And we give you great thanks. Amen.